Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Turn to Colossians. I want to read a section from there. Chapter 1, beginning of verse 25. I have become your servant in this because of the commission God gave me to bring you God's word in all the fullness of its truth and power. He is now revealing the secrets that have been hidden during previous times and generations. But these truths are revealed only to his saints, to those who belong to him. He has chosen to reveal to all who are his among the nations the glorious riches that are centered in this mystery, that Christ has now come to live in you, and in him alone is your hope of glory, now and for all eternity. This is why we speak only of Christ, encouraging, correcting, and teaching everyone with the wisdom he has given us, so that we can present everyone perfect in Christ because they believe the gospel we proclaim. What a wonderful prospect! And it is this that inspires me to work so hard, depending on his power to work in and through me, and enabling me to prevail through all the struggles. And I want you to know that I do have to struggle for you, for those at Laodicea and for others, even though I do not know them personally. My intention is that I might be able to encourage their hearts and urge them to be united in love. I want them to come to a complete understanding of all the riches that are available to them as the mystery of the fullness of Christ is unfolded to them. For in him all the riches of wisdom and true knowledge are to be found. I speak in this way to warn you against those who want to deceive you with teaching that sounds right but is not grounded in the truth of Christ. Go on to verse 6. So this is my message to you. Because you have already received Christ Jesus as your Lord, continue to live in him. You have been rooted in him, so now grow up in him. Let your trust in him continue to grow stronger as you live in the good of what you have been taught. And let your hearts overflow with thankfulness to God. Be sure that no one puts you into bondage through clever sounding but empty talk that is the result of worldly thinking and dependence on the traditional way of looking at things instead of being revelation of the truth in Christ. For in him the complete revelation of who God is has come to us in human form. In Christ you have been given the fullness of his life, and he is supreme above every power and authority. Because you live in him, you have received a spiritual circumcision, not one done by men, but by Christ himself. The circumcision involved cutting away your old sinful nature, which was buried once and for all with Christ when you were baptized. Now you have been raised to new life with him through believing in God's power, that as he raised Christ from the dead, so he has also raised you from the death of sin to a new life with him. You were spiritually dead because of your unforgiven sins, because that old sinful nature had not been cut away. But then God brought you to life with Christ. He forgave all your sins and cancelled the written code of rules and regulations that were impossible for you to keep and only consigned you to failure and defeat. Jesus removed this code by nailing it to the cross. There, he also dismissed the demonic powers and authorities that oppose us. His triumph over them on the cross was a public defeat for them. Hallelujah. The word of God is good, isn't it? Now, I've really got into the Olympics and Paralympics in a way I never expected to. One of the things that I was sort of watching out for is what I could learn about human endeavor. What I could learn that would help us in the purposes of God. Knowing that his purposes are not fulfilled through human endeavor, but cannot be fulfilled without human endeavor. If you think that one through. And there's always been, obviously, a focus on the winners and those that have got medals. But there was something I observed in even those that didn't get medals or didn't get the gold, only got silver and bronze when they were aiming for the gold. If you notice, whether they were swimmers or whether they were athletes, as soon as they finished a race, they were looking at the scoreboard. And what they were looking for was the timing, the time that they had taken. Their aim was for a PB, a personal best. And when they were interviewed, if they lost, but they had done a personal best, their attitude was always, well, I couldn't have done any better, and the other guy was better on the day, good for him. But there was disappointment, great disappointment, if they lost and they hadn't exceeded their PB, their personal best. Because to them, they hadn't performed to their maximum. Therefore, they felt they'd failed themselves, they'd failed Team GB or Paralympic Team GB, and thereby, in some way, they'd failed the nation, failed all those that had supported them and invested in their training regime. And while I was watching all this, the Lord said to me, what is your personal best? The inference of that is, are you performing according to your PB? And then he said, your personal best is Christ in you, which is what Paul is talking about here. The secret is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Lord just went on to talk to me about how for any of us, not just for me personally, but for any believer, we only perform according to our personal best when we allow a Christ in us to express his life through us and to be working through us. Anything less than that is less than our personal best. And for reasons that I'll explain a little later, Team GB now needs to be replaced by Team KF. yesterday there was this parade, a million people turned out to watch a group of people roughly the same size as Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. A group of people that size have impacted a nation. That's God's call upon us, to impact a nation. But of course they were all working with the same common aim, to exceed their previous PB, to exceed their personal best, and to win. Not just to win, but to exceed whatever they'd attained before. Apparently in the Paralympics, 251 world records were broken. That's a lot. And you know, some of the swimmers were swimming in the morning and breaking a record, then swimming again in the evening and breaking the record again. And then there'd be one heat and there'd be a new world record, then the next heat and the world record would be broken again. Everybody aspiring to win. Everybody concerned to function at their personal best. And there was a lot said during the course of the interviews about the team spirit, about the unity that there was in their residence where the team was living together. How it didn't matter whether people were winning the medals or not, everybody was encouraging everybody else. they were engendering a team spirit. And when some had disappointments, they were being picked up and encouraged. And there were one or two guys got disqualified because of different interpretations of the rules and things like that. Big, big disappointment if you've been training for all those years and then you get dismissed from the whole thing on a technicality or even an interpretation of a rule. But, you know, that's when there's the team spirit kicks in. And you see all this at a natural level without Christ. You put the Holy Spirit into all that, and what would you get? Two things were obvious. You listen to these interviews, and even yesterday with the parade, people were saying, well, getting up early, cold, icy mornings, going out and training for hours, day after day, no social life with our friends, not able to indulge ourselves in what we ate or drank. It was all worth it for this. That's motivation. That in all those years, 4 years, they said 4 years, day after day after day, it doesn't matter what sacrifices were involved, because they had motivation. The motivation to win. Some of them would have gone into the Olympics and Paralympics knowing that it was unlikely that they would win, but aspiring at least for a PB. And as was said in one of the speeches, I think it was Lord Coe, or one of them anyway, said, you know, the great thing for all the team is that even if they hadn't gotten a medal, they are Olympians or Paralympians. They'd been there. They'd done it. They'd participated. But they participated because they had the motivation. They had to go through a lot to get there, all the qualifying and all the rest of it. Motivation leads to dedication. So here you had a group of dedicated people, and I thought it was great the way they were all together yesterday, whether they were Olympians or Paralympians. There was no suggestion that the Paralympics were second best. They weren't second best, they were just different. And it's as much of an achievement to get a gold medal at the Paralympics as at the Olympics. And I think this is probably the first time that has ever happened, that people have perceived the Paralympics to be just as significant. But motivation leads to dedication. And the combination of the two leads to your PB, your personal best. For us, as we seek to fulfill what God has called us to be and to do, both personally and corporately, the motivation comes out of love for God, and out of love for people. Because in his heart, the two are inseparable. If you have love for God, you will have love for people. And if you don't have love for people, you don't have love for God. And of course, this is what John brings out very clearly in his first epistle. Even among the community of believers, that if you don't love your brother, then you don't love God. And anyone who says, I love God, but he doesn't love his brother, he's a liar, he's deceived, and the truth is not in him. Very strong language. But you look at the way that some Christians speak about one another and deal with one another, and it makes you think, doesn't it? What's the motivation behind such attitudes? Where is their love for God? Where is there a love for his people? Where is there even a love for the brothers and the sisters that are around that person? Motivation. Interesting, the controversy over the blades with Pastorius. The interesting thing was that it struck a sour note in the middle of everything that was so positive and led to a very rapid repentance, really, on his part. Because even if he's got a case, it was saying the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way. But it struck a sour note in the middle of everything that was so good and positive. And isn't it possible for us to do that? A sour note, a wrong thing said, out of disappointment, out of grievance, out of whatever. But it's the wrong thing at the wrong time at the wrong place. Because for us, actually, there isn't any time to say the negative. And that's why what God has been saying to us these last few days, last week or so, has been so important. Why we looked again after a few years at the Never Again list, and how we've seen it's really important to be confessing positively. The power of words, you've only got to read Proverbs to see that the power of words is immense, that in your mouth there is either life or death. And with your mouth you either bless or curse, and there isn't anything in between. If you don't build up, you pull down. If you don't build up, you destroy. And it's not only the words you speak, but the intonation with which you speak them, the sincerity with which you speak them. Because we are all sensitive enough to know when somebody may be saying the right words but is being insincere, doesn't come from the heart, sounds almost hypocritical or empty. So it's not just saying the right things, but it's saying the right things from the right heart. And of course, if we're not saying the right things, it's not something that's wrong with our language, it's something that's wrong with the heart. Because as Jesus said, it's from the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. And you see, because Christ is in us, we've never got any justification to speak the wrong things or to speak negatively or to pull down or to destroy. Unless, of course, we're pulling down the works of the enemy. The secret is Christ in us. Now, as I was saying at the keynote last week, at the heart of all this is being in agreement with him. Can any two walk together unless they agree? Perhaps the only part of Amos that you can quote. But you see, it has even greater significance if we're talking about agreeing with the one who lives in us. Because there is discord in our lives if we're speaking at variance with the one who lives within us. And of course, the Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth. Now, when you consider what that means in practice, it means that the Holy Spirit is working within you to encourage you to speak what Jesus would speak, to think as Jesus would think, to do as Jesus would do, because he is in you.
Right.
So when you are lined up with him, then he can have his way. One of the interesting things in the Paralympics was the blind running and the way they needed someone to partner them, to guide them. And of course, the guides had to be able to run as fast as they did. They had to do quite a lot of training together to keep in sync. And of course, if there was one occasion where one woman was going to win a race, and either the guide couldn't keep up with her, or he stumbled or something, but anyway, he fell just before the line. The blind person immediately didn't know what to do, and so she fell to the ground too. When she would have, I think she would have got the gold, but in fact she got nothing. She got a gold in a subsequent race. So all was forgiven. But our guide, there's nothing wrong with our guide. You see, he won't stumble. And we're not actually blind. Praise God, he's opened our eyes so we can see. But we don't run alone. We're like those blind people that have someone running with us, keeping pace. The only rule that they had in those races was that the runner had to cross the line in front of the guide. The guide could not pass the line in front of the runner. But with the Holy Spirit, he's guiding us, he's leading us, he's inspiring us, he's enabling us, so that we can achieve and attain. But you see, for them to be able to run together in sync, there had to be hours and hours of training with their guide. For us, hours and hours of training with the Holy Spirit, learning to run the race in sync with the Holy Spirit. If you saw them, because they actually were attached to one another, I'm sure most of you probably have seen it, but they had to have a strap of some kind. And if they didn't keep pace, of course, they would have separated, they would have parted, and the blind person wouldn't have known where to go. I think that sometimes happens with people with the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit's left them, but they just sort of parted company with him for a while. They're not listening, they're not obeying, they're not walking or running in sync with him. And so then they begin to stumble and wander around, because, well, what do we do? Where do we go? What's God saying? And so on. So we can learn all kinds of good spiritual lessons from these things, but what I believe God is saying to us here and now, this is the important thing as far as we're concerned, is are you ready to improve your PB? Are you ready for such motivation, dedication to the Lord that your performance will now be different? It's one thing to know what the Lord wants to do. It's another thing to actually see him doing it. We all know how to pray for the sick, but our best is to pray and see them healed. It's what happens when we pray. If we don't see the power of God operating, we can come up with a multitude of excuses and reasons. But in our heart of hearts, we know God's best purpose was for that person to be healed when we prayed. Take you out of the scenario and put Jesus in it, and what would have happened if he'd prayed? And yet, we are called to pray in his name, and he himself is within us when we pray. Does that mean that we do a load of things without dependence upon him, or praying the wrong way at the wrong time? We can come up with all kinds of reasons. But we know that God's best for every one of us is that whatever we touch turns to gold. That when we touch someone's life, they have a golden moment. They have a God moment. We had some significant moves of the Spirit at camp. And I shared a little bit about what I personally went through with the Lord in the weeks leading up to camp, in the months actually leading up to camp. Because you see, God had spoken to me and said that he wanted the camp, the Spirit to move at camp in such a way that everybody present was touched by the Spirit of God. Not just those that were keen, those up the front, but everybody was there. Everybody would meet with God, that you'd look around from the platform and see everybody meeting with God. I'd seen that many times in the past. But it's not the usual thing. The usual thing is that you see some meeting with God and some not, some, you know, a whole variety of responses. But God did move in that way, and people were telling me, those who were at the back of the hall, the amazing thing is that even at the back, people were meeting with God just like those, the keen ones, who are always up the front. And okay, it's what God said he would do, but you see, when you're in the place of ministry and you're leading, you come to the point where you say, Holy Spirit, come now. The question mark is he going to? You could say, well, yes, because he said he was going to. But you see, when God reveals his will, we always have to be in the right place with him so that his will is then able to be fulfilled. Most of you wouldn't be used to leading meetings like this. What I'm saying is, I knew weeks before the camp that I had to be in the place with God where when I said, Holy Spirit, move now, he would move. That everything was in sync. That there was that unity, that there was that submission to him so that he could do it. Not, wasn't me doing it. But you see, my motivation had to be, for weeks before the camp, my motivation had to be that I would be in the place with God where the Spirit of God would move like that whenever I ministered at camp. Even though we hadn't seen quite such a move of the Spirit in the last few years, we'd seen blessing, but not quite that. And that was only a beginning because we want to see much, 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 much more. We've got to build on that. That was just a mild beginning as far as I'm concerned. But it was a beginning. It was like an entrance into something new, something more, which this autumn is going to increase. That God's purpose is to see the Spirit move, Sundays, the nights of prayer, whenever, but move upon everybody. The Holy Spirit descend. I've mentioned before, I think probably, you know, people say, what's the most awesome thing you've seen? I mean, you know, I've seen the dead raised, I've seen lots of mighty miracles. But people are, sometimes when I'm being interviewed and things like that, people say, what is the most awesome thing you've seen God do? And the most awesome thing I think I ever saw was literally, and I mean, this is the only way I could explain it, at precisely the same second, the Spirit of God literally fell upon thousands of people. There were thousands of people. I'd been preaching about the power and authority of the kingdom. And I was just beginning to, I just ended the message, just beginning to pray. There wasn't even, you know, let's stand up and pray. The message went into prayer. And as I was praying, there were all these thousands of people, about 6,000 people there. 6,000 people, they were all seated. At precisely the same second, everybody jumped to their feet and the Spirit of God fell upon everybody that was there. That's the most awesome thing I think I've ever seen. It wasn't that a few people stood up and other. Everybody at precisely the same second, it was as if God just got everybody to their feet and vroom, the conference that this was part of was taking place on a great big complex, and I could hardly walk around from one building to another for the various meetings, seminars. That was a plenary session with everybody together. But, you know, there were also seminars and that kind of thing. But I couldn't walk around. I had to walk with my head down like that so people wouldn't see my face, because otherwise I'd never get to the venues. People coming up saying what God did at that second. The miracles, the healings, the transformed lives, the healed marriages. Absolutely amazing. It was just a God event, a God moment. Now, you can't reproduce that. You can't recreate that. You see, you can't stand on a platform and say, Holy Spirit, come now upon everyone. I want that. But is it going to happen? You see, it's all God. And it's all His grace. But where you are with God determines what He can do with you. Where each of those athletes was determined how they would perform. Even the Christians among them couldn't say, well, I don't need to train because I've got the Holy Spirit. Where they were in their personal preparation determined the results of how they performed. And where we are with God determines what He can do through us. The measure you give is the measure you get back. Only when you sow your best do you see God do His best.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.